All right, so thanks so much for letting me lead off this wonderful panel. I think it's very exciting, and I can't wait to hear what everybody else says. I'm setting the stage. Most of you know that traumatic brain injury is an issue, but if you don't, we'll all get on the same page of understanding. Disclosure slide. Unfortunately, I don't have any personal financial disclosures. I wish I did. So in this brief presentation, we're going to talk about the definition of TBI and concussion. I'll present a little bit on the epidemiology, focusing on our data from emergency departments, and then I'm going to present some of Donna Comstock's data from the National High School Sports Injury Surveillance Study, and then briefly finish up with some of the holes, some of the surveillance needs that we still have. So traumatic brain injury is a hodgepodge of a lot of different things that can affect the brain. It's made up, the vast majority are concussions. And so the definition of concussion, because a lot of people don't understand, it's a type of traumatic brain injury, and it's caused by a bump, blow, or jolt to the head or the body that rattles the brain inside the skull. And it changes the way your brain normally works. So it is a functional injury, not a structural injury. So the normal radiologic evaluations that we do in the emergency department or in practices won't pick up this type of injury. It doesn't mean that your brain isn't injured. It just is a functional injury, so it changes the way the brain works. So for our emergency department data, we use the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System's All Injury Program. And it's a system that was originally established by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and CDC funds a little extra to get more information on injuries seen in emergency departments. It's a sample of 66 hospital emergency departments across the United States, and our data goes back all the way to 2001. And so the data I'm presenting today is 2001 to 2009, and we looked at 0 to 19-year-olds, pulled out anybody that was involved in an injury from sports and recreation, and then it doesn't use the typical ICD coding. It has a matrix-type code of body part and diagnosis, so we chose body part head, diagnosis either concussion or internal organ injury for our traumatic brain injuries. So we found over those 9 years, there's an average of 173,000 traumatic brain injuries among children and adolescents seen in emergency departments each year. The vast majority, 71%, were among males. And again, the vast majority are among older children, equally divided between the 10 to 14 and 15 to 19-year-old group. 6.6% were hospitalized or transferred for higher levels of care. And of all sports and recreation-related injury, TBI represented 17% of the injuries that were hospitalized or transferred. So it's a large portion of the severe injuries that are seen among sports and recreation. So this was the first opportunity we had to look at trends, and this is the trend line, and it is statistically significant increase in traumatic brain injuries in kids for sports and recreation seen in the emergency department. It goes from 5.5% of sports and recreation-related injuries in the emergency department to 7.4%. However, when we looked at the percentage that were hospitalized or transferred for higher levels of care, that did not increase significantly. So that's one of the things that leads us to believe that this was increased awareness of the importance of early diagnosis and care rather than an increased incidence. The activities that kids were involved in varied. The younger, the top two were playground activities and bicycling. And then among the older age groups, it was gender specific. Males was football and bicycling, and females bicycling, basketball, and soccer. Interestingly, that we don't have any participation data that would allow us to create participation-based rates to talk about which activities are riskiest. But the one thing that we could do is look at what activities had a high percentage of the injuries for that activity that were traumatic brain injury. And the activities for which more than 10% were traumatic brain injuries included horseback riding, ice skating, golfing, ATVs, and tobogganing, sledding. So unfortunately, there are some limitations to the emergency department data. We know that a very small proportion of the problem of concussion is treated in emergency departments, and that's probably very appropriate. So this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as concussions and traumatic brain injury goes. We have estimates by general activities, but we don't have any participation information. So we can't create rates, and we also can't look at different types of bicycling activities or skateboarding activities that people often ask us about extreme sports. And I can't get at, you know, which of these were, you know, being used in an extreme manner. We don't have that type of information. We also don't have any information on the level of participation or the competition. So, you know, a basketball injury could be in your driveway versus, you know, a competitive high school event or something like that. So we don't have that information. So we can't compare across activities, across sexes, ages, or years without good denominator data. So our rates have increased 57% in 9 years, from a number 153,000 in 2001 to almost a quarter of a million in 2009. The hospitalization rates did not rise significantly, and so, like I said, it leads us to believe that it's increased awareness rather than a true increased incidence. And so now one of the things I wanted to add to this is we do have data from the National High School Sports Injury Surveillance Study that CDC partially funds, but it's actually Dr. Comstock's data, and she's allowing me to present it to you today, that does have participation information. And so it does allow us to compare across all those fields that I wasn't able to talk about in the ED data. It was set up similarly to the NCAA data that you might hear more about when our future presenters are up here. It has two parts. The representative sample began in 2005 and represents 9 sports, which then allows us to make national estimates. The 9 sports were 5 boys' sports of soccer, basketball, baseball, football, and wrestling, and 4 girls' sports of soccer, basketball, softball, and volleyball. In addition, in 2008, they began expanding to get additional schools and additional sports. So now there's a total of 20 sports, and they get participation information, so we can do participation-based rates, but it's not a nationally representative sample, so we can't weight it up to make estimates of what's seen across the country in those sports. The data are all collected by certified athletic trainers at the high schools, and so, you know, the data is quite good, and it captures all diagnosed concussions, not just those that result in time loss, although now we hope that every concussion results in time loss. But it includes participation information, which is expressed as athlete exposure, meaning one athlete in a practice or a game is one athlete exposure. So some information from the representative sample. Again, this is just the 9 sports that they were able to capture a quarter of a million concussions. 75% occur in competition and 25% occur in practice. And again, the rates were increasing over the years. From the expanded data, you can see that the sports with the highest concussion rates were boys' football, boys' sports of football and ice hockey, and then girls' soccer, boys' lacrosse, girls' basketball, and on down the line. And so it might look like it's a boys' issue. But then when you take similar sports, women were diagnosed with concussion more often than males in than their male counterparts in similar sports. Interestingly, lacrosse isn't actually comparable because the rules and the play and the gear in those sports are very different between boys' lacrosse and girls' lacrosse, and so that's not actually one that is comparable. But in all the other comparable sports, women are diagnosed with concussion more often than men. Those researchers were actually able to look at concussion symptoms and return to play, and males reported more cognitive-type symptoms, like amnesia, confusion, disorientation, and females reported more neurobehavioral or somatic symptoms, like drowsiness or sensitivity to noise. But interestingly, there was no difference noted in time to resolution or in return to play, so it doesn't seem that they're more severe between the genders. So to summarize here, traumatic brain injury, including concussion, is a risk in any sport or recreational activity. Very common among children and adolescents, particularly those older adolescents, 10 to 19. Recognition is increasing, which we hope results in increased diagnosis and appropriate care. And in similar sports, females may be at a higher risk, but there's still the gender issue is still a question, I think. So just briefly, some of the holes I've already presented in limitations to the data, but we really need more systems that can capture injury and participation information so that we can do better comparisons. We need systems that capture participation beyond organized high school or organized collegiate activities. We need outcomes information beyond just return to play. And we need information from more sources than just the emergency department. The vast majority are treated by athletic trainers or in primary care, and so we need to get more information from that to have a better understanding of the entire spectrum of concussion. And I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much.